This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Right on the tee, playing out of hope and desperation.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
It's British Open Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Pretty quality radio edit right there. Did you hear that?
Nope.
We're not the best of the business for nothing.
We are not. Hey, welcome back to our show. We've got In the News coming up here. And that open reminded me that I have to throw my hot British Open pick at you.
Yeah, I need it.
I got one.
You're going to put a sawbuck on that, are you?
Yeah, already did. But, you know, golf picks are hard. But I think this is good value. It's good value play. But that's going to have to wait. You want that next segment? I'll give it to you next segment.
Well, I'm dying for it.
When do you want it?
I need it.
When do you want it?
I just said.
Okay, 4:15.
There you go.
So Fox is going after College Game Day.
There hasn't been many people, I think, that have mounted a credible challenge to College Game Day.
One other quick follow-up.
What do you got?
I was wrong. Wild pitch pass ball only when a runner advances.
Okay.
Did not know that.
But I'm sure someone keeps track of this. There's some sort of analytic that can tell you how many times in a game this happens. I would also think, too, that...
You mean a ball gets away from the catcher?
A ball gets away, but if this rule does get implemented in the Atlantic League or whatever, I assure you that catchers are going to take it more seriously, right? If there's no one on and the ball's in the dirt, how hard does the catcher really go after it? I mean, there's really no point in it. But now... I think you treat that a little bit differently, knowing what's on the line.
Indeed. All right. So Fox is going after ESPN.
Yes.
And they hired their own. Well, they've already had their own like college football studio show, mm-hmm. but they want to really challenge and try to get some of those game day viewers.
Well, it's been 20 plus years of basically that being the show.
And I think it's
lost some of its luster. It doesn't quite mean the same thing when game day comes, but. It's still a huge deal for a lot of places. I mean, look at what happened with Washington State last year. I mean, that was a monster deal on that campus.
Game Day is a great show.
Yes.
Whether you consume it every week or not, they've done a great job with that. If you're a college football fan, they give you what you need.
Yes.
Right? And then they have the added element of the fun stuff with the fans showing up in the signs.
They do some sort of emotional, you know, they'll give you a couple nice vignettes. About someone playing in
job.
One of the games.
Now,
it's a classy show.
They still properly Corso up. I'm not sure why, but...
That thing needs to come
I'm
to an
old.
End.
I am dying.
Either way, it's a good show. They've done a great job with it. But you're right. It's kind of like, well, okay, I've seen this bit before. No. So Fox is going after it, and they hired Urban Meyer, mm-hmm. and they're going to put Urban Meyer up there with Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and Brady Quinn.
Yeah. It's a good-looking crew.
And I don't know who the host is. But it probably doesn't matter. Some good-looking dude.
Oh, I'm going to say good-looking.
Tosses him lob ball.
I'm going to say a good-looking gal.
Tosses him softballs. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
It is Fox, after all.
So, yeah, we finally got a glimpse of what they're trying to do, kind of what they're going after during the All-Star game for baseball when we got a promo. I don't know if you saw it, but they showed a promo, about a 30-second promo of a glimpse into what they're doing, and it's called Big Noon. And it will...
Big Noon?
Yeah, well, what they're doing is they're trying... Okay, so CBS has pretty much a stranglehold on the 12:30... I'm gonna go all Pacific time here.
Okay.
Just for the sake of, well, that's our time zone.
And it's Rob Stone, by the way.
The Stoner.
The Stoner.
He's their kind of do-it-all host.
I've seen...
He does soccer stuff, too.
I didn't know his name, but I picture him. Yeah. He's a blonde guy, maybe.
He is a handsome lad.
So... The SEC on CBS has a stranglehold on the 12:30 slot, right?
Yeah.
The Saturday Night Football, which is 5 p.m. here, is ABC. Like, they just, that's when you know the best games.
Yep.
seem to be on. And then, of course, Pac-12 has a nice little niche on ESPN late.
Pac-12 after dark.
But what Fox is going to go after is they're going to go after that 9 a.m. slot here, noon, in the Eastern time zone.
Okay.
And so their show, Big Noon with Herbs and all these guys, is going to, and Big Stoner, it's gonna run concurrent to game day. They're going directly after game day in terms of the time that it will run. But then they think they've got better games. They're going to try to put their best games at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Which I kind of see what they're doing there, because the 9 a.m. games are usually pretty crappy.
You usually get some watered down Big Ten or ACC game. I've watched, unfortunately, way too much Minnesota or Illinois or Maryland football simply because it's on in the morning.
So I was reading about this going, oh, that seems like a good idea. And then I scrolled down to their schedule. Are you ready?
Oh, boy. I'm something tells me that no, I'm not.
I'm expecting Monday Night Football levels of ugh.
Yeah.
Why would you expect that?
Maybe you can just stare at Brady Quinn.
Well, because of the way you sold it. I'm expecting we're going to get a lot of.
Was my sarcasm?
Indiana versus Illinois going palpable on here.
first game, Florida Atlantic at Ohio State.
Oh, boy. Really? That's what you're coming out of the gates with?
Lane Kiffin.
Way to just reach out and grab that marquee matchup.
Go Owls.
It's a very exciting time.
Go Owls.
Army at Michigan.
Well, that's, you know what? That's not bad.
Army, weren't they the ones that gave Oklahoma a run for their money?
Yeah, Army's good. They got two. Is that Jeff Munkin, I think, is their coach, and they've beat Navy 2 years in a row now. I like that.
Munkin.
Just keep in the back of your head a question. Are there better 9 a.m. games than these?
Well, see, that's the thing is, like, they're not going to be able to come right out of the gate firing because there's a pecking order of how these games are placed. And so I think what they're saying is, hey, this slate I'm about to read to you is not ideal yet. But what they're going to try to do is focus more on that time slot and somehow, I don't know how these things work in terms of their contracts and stuff, be able to pick games there that they think stand out as opposed to some other time of day.
Then maybe not call it the Big Noon.
Big Noon, baby.
What if we just called it the, like, okay noon?
Like the pretty good little noon?
Pretty good little noon. And I'm still baffled by the fact that you named the show Big Noon when that only applies to, like, the East Coast.
Well, they do have, well, I know that, yeah, exactly.
Just, isn't it going to be based in L.A.?
They always are, yeah.
That just is bizarre.
They're on early. Or maybe they'll... No, didn't we read last year? I thought we... I'll double check this too, but I thought we read that they were gonna travel that show like game day.
Bump it around? I just think it's weird. Like, so if I wake up and I watch it on the West Coast, I'm watching the Big Noon, but I'm watching it at 9? Well, actually, no, I won't be because the games are going to start at 9. That means I'm watching it at like I'm watching the Big Noon at 7:30.
Well, it's the same time as...
Game day,
yeah.
So I'm watching 7:30... Fox, and I'm watching Big Noon.
Let's do this.
What a stupid name.
Then they have Ohio State at Indiana.
Ohio State twice in 3 weeks. All right. Really, really spreading thin.
And Michigan.
Here. Yeah.
And then they have Michigan at Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, that finally, you got a good game.
There you go. So maybe they get into the league, though, it'll be better.
So it's just the Big Ten.
Well, I think it's not even that. I think it's just the powers of the Big Ten. They're saying, hey, look, the best we can do here is throw the really big Big Ten teams on and hope that we get good ratings.
And this is a terrible idea. Like, if you're going to launch a competitor to this, you better launch with intent to really go after them. Because we've seen this all the time, when whether it's a restaurant or whatever, you see, like, the soft launches, and you're like, oh, we're working through the kinks. First impressions are everything. So you're going to get a bunch of people that are going to turn into the Big Noon. I mean, God, what a horrible name. And if this thing is clunky from the get-go and it's not like a well-oiled machine, and then all of a sudden it's leading me into Florida Atlantic and Ohio State, that's the best you're going to give me, you got a real chance of alienating a huge portion of your audience that's never going to give this thing more than a crack or two.
Doesn't Fox need more rights to games? Because the ACC also is on at 9 a.m., but that's an ESPN thing.
Yeah.
But don't they have the Big 12? Can't they play some Big 12
games?
They
do. They're just not on that. That's only the first four. They will have Big 12 games. They also say that they will have some Pac-12 games, which I asked Larry Scott this a couple years ago, and he just kind of punted, which he usually does. He was like, well, we kind of We do. They have Pac-12 has some games in that time slot.
Yeah.
I think that is a good time slot. If you want exposure for the rest of the country to your games, it ain't at 7 o'clock at night out here. It's at nine in the morning out here. Yeah. Now, I don't know, as a former player, maybe you can shed some light.
That sucks.
Yeah, that would suck to have to play.
No coaches want to do it. You want to hear someone bitch and moan?
The coaches.
Flip it to a 9 a.m. game, because if it's at nine, you're at the stadium by seven, which means you're at the stadium by seven, you're waking up at 4:30 in the morning to eat, to properly hydrate, to get taped, to do all that stuff.
Well, 4:30 mental time, right? Pacific time.
Yeah. Because
it would be seven, you'd be 3 hours ahead for the noon game, quote unquote.
Yeah. I'm saying if you are on nine, if you're playing West Coast games at nine in the morning, it's brutal.
So these games, well, I mean, we've already named the first three Ohio State, Indiana's conference games. So I don't know, maybe there's more games that they haven't revealed yet, but maybe they will include Pac-12 teams that are playing in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, this guy says first.
Although at that point they wouldn't be, because they'd be playing conference games, right?
Well, but like I said, there was one that we only got. I don't know if that's the first 4 weeks or if those four games are just four that they've said, here's what we're going to play.
I don't know.
Because two of them are conference games, so I'm not sure what dates those are. So maybe there is a non-conference game that includes a Pac-12 school, like Cal played at North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a game like that, but they haven't revealed it yet.
You just better hope that studio show is just buttoned down, because this to me just reeks of disaster. And I know Fox has taken a big swinge over these last couple of years, and whether with their own radio programs, you know, they got Colin away and. And they've tried hard to go after the ESPN. And I got to tell you, man, I think a lot of the stuff that Fox has tried has really been poorly executed. And I don't know how many inroads they've made. And just tickle me very skeptical that this is going to be a serious challenge to College game day.
So how would you feel? So you're saying coaches wouldn't like it, but could they corkscrew a few 9 a.m. Pac-12 games?
I think you could, but you would have to have something where you not more than one per team.
Well, in Denver's an hour different, right?
Yeah, and that may make a difference. I just know that when you are talking about, again, creatures of habit, that is a really, really early day. Plus with fans, imagine the uproar if you had Oregon fans and you had a 9 o'clock game. Where are you waking up to tailgate to get down there? A lot of places like that, whether it's Corvallis, Eugene, you know, you're having to travel to those games. It's not necessarily a built-in audience like you have in Seattle. It's just early, early games. And I think you could get away with it.
Hey, Seattle.
One time, but I don't think this is one of those things that you could ask someone to do more than once. Because the only time I had to do that when we played Hawaii, it was an early kick. And with the time change, it was a really screwy.
Nothing they can do.
There. Nothing you can do. And tell you what, it's a screwy thing having to wake up and play.
Yeah,
didn't
you guys lose like 77-0?
No, we scored 50.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, it was like 77-50.
Yeah. Yeah, we laid 50, and we still basically lost by 30 points.
I really took a giant crap on your offense, didn't I?
Yeah, our offense was
77-50.
It was something.
You did your job.
It was something along those lines.
I had it 77-0.
No.
And that was when you guys were good.
We were undefeated. We were like fifth in the country.
That vaunted Hawaii defense really shutting down BYU.
They're tough.
Yeah, but our vaunted defense itself wasn't the best.
So the focus is going to be on the big boys from the Big Ten, and I bet you they'll sprinkle in a little Texas, Oklahoma, but they're going to have big brands on there. That's the only way they can make this work. And even if that works, we'll see.
I apologize. We did not score 50.
What was the score?
45. 72. We scored 45 points.
They blocked those last two field goals.
They laid 72 on us.
Wait. There was a safety that got called back and a field goal that got blocked.
There you go.
Five.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jace, it's called Big Noon. It will feature Urban Meyer, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, and Rob Stone.
Someone said, what about just like First Kick? How hard is that? Fox is doomed that they can't even come up with a better name.
It'll be on Fox. It's called Big Noon, and it will air. I just looked it up. It's actually not going to air as early as game day. It will be 8 a.m. Pacific, and then their kickoff, their Big Noon game of the week, is at 9 Pacific.
Can't wait to watch Urban Meyer talk about the character of players and how important things are.
Yeah.
Well, he's a pretty good analyst. I don't know if you remember him.
He was good.
He's done it before, so it's not going to be awkward with him. No. And he's, you know, with Leinart, and you got to hand it to him there. That's a good
You got big names.
Lineup.
I mean, those are all great college football names.
I like all of those guys. From what I've seen, I haven't seen much of Reggie Bush yet, I like each one of those guys better than Desmond Howard.
I've heard Bush on interviews. Like, he goes on Colin's show, and I like him. I'm not a huge fan of Leinart. He does some of the Pac-12 stuff. I don't know how strong he is. I think Brady Quinn's pretty good. So we'll see. A lot of it too is just chemistry, right? How everyone plays off each other.
Yeah, maybe they do a little TNT, have a little fun.
Yeah,
get people. You know, the College Game Day does that too.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think Desmond Howard of that. Well, no, Lee Corso is the weak link. I mean, that's if they really were interested in making that show better, they would get rid of Lee Corso and bring in someone else.
Urban Meyer. Oh.
They should have brought exactly. They should have gotten rid of Lee Corso and brought in Urban Meyer.
P1 Scott says, I'm putting my money on Fox. You know, they did such a bang up job of bringing SportsCenter to its knees with Fox Sports Live, which checks internet was canceled over 2 years ago. It's so true. I'm with you on Fox. I think they made a huge mistake too. I don't know if you've noticed this or even care, but Fox Sports website went to all
video
content.
Writing.
There's no news headlines.
Haven't been there since.
Yeah, I haven't either. No, it's like just, that's the dumbest thing ever.
It's just an afterthought.
All right, and
it doesn't matter. This show is going to last a year anyways because Urban Meyer will be the coach of USC next year.
And then they'll replace him with PJ Fleck. And then they'll really be headed towards Turdville.
Yes.
All right.
You're headed towards Turdville.
Official, exclusive, only heard here, British Open pick next on The Fam.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Somebody texted Better You Today, text line 55305, because we were talking about the Fox Big Noon college football pregame show.
The Nooner.
Which is going after ESPN College Game Day, and they said, watch Urban Meyer start just gushing over USC. Yeah, I love that team. It's pretty good. Boy, if I coach that team now, I would do this. He's got Bush and Leinart up there.
Why outthink the room, though? It's like, hey, when ESPN was sitting down, all right, guys, what do we call our show? Well, what are we going to do? We're going to talk all day about college football. I got an idea. College football game day. Fox, hey, what do we call our show? Well, the game's going to air at noon on the East Coast, so...
Big Noon?
Big Noon? All right, good answer. That's like a horrible game of Family Feud when grandma goes off her pills and throws one out and everyone has to clap and be like, good answer. Yeah. And you're,
it's like when they named you.
Yeah.
What's your name? Suk? Oh, you're big. Big Suk.
Yeah. Way to go, Alan.
Hey, Dieter is in.
Dieter.
What do we
he
got?
Says, the Big Noon sounds like a trip to the toilet.
That is true. Shijanyu. Can you imagine, like, your old man, like, hey, Dad, where are you going? Gotta go take a Big Noon.
Headed for the Big Noon. Yeah. Be back in a half hour.
Puts the paper, the magazine, rolls it up, puts it underneath his arm.
Where's he going? Oh, it's the Big Noon.
It's the Big Noon. Puts on his dad shoes, puts on his, like, Air Monarchs with some grass stains, maybe some New Balance. Heads on up there.
Okay, the British Open is underway Thursday morning, like, bright and early.
Yeah.
You want early sports.
There you go.
Technically, Wednesday night it starts.
Does it? I thought it was like
There's some 11 p.m. tee times.
Okay, but that's not when
Pacific time.
Television coverage starts.
Right.
Is it?
No.
Yeah, I think TV coverage starts early in the morning, you know, like 2 o'clock. And then, you know, when you wake up, you want to flip it on. You'll get some of the late afternoon tee times over there.
Yeah, because I'm looking here. Dustin Johnson will tee off, 10 o'clock Eastern, so 7 here. Well, you'll get the Dustin Johnson group.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Then those guys will be later over there, but early for us. And, you know, kind of right in the wheelhouse anyway, if you don't have too much going on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, because it's 4-round tournament. I mean, if you knew that about the majors,
you're
going to play 4 rounds of golf.
4 big rounds.
Now, here's my official pick. Are you ready?
I'd like to
provide you with my exclusive picks only when I feel good about them. Like some majors, I'm just like, I don't know. Now, listen, golf betting is very difficult because, well, There's a lot of guys.
A lot of guys can win. A lot of bros.
So the fun way to bet golf to me is these pools where you get guys in different tiers and you can take two guys in each tier and you can kind of sprinkle and mix and match and you bet you have money on a lot of guys.
Sure.
Right? But if you want some value, I found some for you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
The value for this British Open event is Matt Kuchar.
The Cooch?
That's the value.
Kuchar, what's he at?
I found him at 35-1. Now, here's why Matt Kuchar. I think he's ready to win a major. He is probably the best player that hasn't won a major, although you could argue, you know, Ricky Fowler or like a Lee Westwood, but he's up there. Matt Kuchar is number one in the FedEx Cup points. He's been playing great mm-hmm. this year. This course that they're playing is kind of a new course for this tournament. It's in Northern Ireland. They haven't played a lot there. And so it's new to a lot of the guys. It is not long, but it requires accuracy. And, of course, if you know your golf, your PGA Tour bros, you know that Kuchar is not as long as some guys, but he's great in driving accuracy. He's 10th, and he's 5th in greens and regulation. And he's finished top 10 in 5 of his last 10 majors, and he was 2nd at Royal Birkdale 2 years ago. So for these reasons, like you look at Tiger and Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, all those Americans are like 8 to 15 to 20 to 1,
yeah.
right? Kuchar is playing as good as any of them this year, if not better than a lot of them this year, and his value is sitting at 35 to 1. I'll take that.
So I was looking through because I was just from a gambling standpoint, a lot of people were saying if you want value, Rahm is 18 to 1
mm-hmm.
and he loves link style courses. It has all the shots.
Yeah.
I've actually seen a couple of people that have thrown this one out too that now Sergio hasn't played great in like the last 10 majors.
He's never a bad bet over there,
but he's got 10 top 10 finishes at the Open and he's sitting right now in some places at 90 to 1.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never a bad bet.
No, so people are saying like, that if you want value, that's, you know, if you're getting somewhere between 80 to 90 to 1, that could be the guy to lay a solid.
You know who's
on.
Another American flyer I saw at 100 to 1? And I think he's good enough to win a major too, and this may be the tournament at a weird course like this that not a lot of the guys know, and it's the British Open. This may be a tournament where just some rando wins it. You know, we get those.
Sure.
We haven't gotten one at the British Open in a while.
The tournaments.
We do get those at these tournaments. And I was looking at 100 to 1 was Kevin Kisner.
Really?
Kis has been playing some pretty good golf these last couple years, and he's, again, accurate, shorter. You know, not a bad play at 100 to 1.
Yeah, there was the other one I saw that people were saying Matt Wallace is 60 to 1.
Yeah, Wallace is kind of a sexy one.
Yep.
And Matt Wallace is the guy. I think he's the dude that was here. We've talked about this before, but he was at the web.com tour or the tour event here at Pumpkin Ridge. And he was standing on 18T and they told him the score that he needed to get his tour card. Mm-hmm. And it was the wrong score. And so he.
I do remember that.
Remember that?
I don't remember that being Matt Wallace, but I remember that story.
I'm pretty sure that's Matt Wallace. And now I got to look it up because I'm not. Positive PGA Tour. You can just wait.
He finished tied for third at the PGA. He was 6th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and 12th at the U.S. Open.
Different guy. Sorry. My bad.
And I guess they were.
He's a Brit.
Yeah,
this guy.
He's a. And they've got at 60 to 1, he's kind of. I've seen him on a couple different sleeper picks. Obviously not one of the favorites, but again, if you're looking for value, there you go.
Yeah, he was. Did you say he was third at PGA?
Yeah, third at the PGA, 12th at the U.S. Open. He's had a couple other top 10s playing well this year.
Yeah, and Aaron Wise, people are asking about him, you know, kind of the local guy.
Yeah.
He was down there, at, I don't know, 75 to 100 to 1 as well. A little young, a little raw.
Who's the odds on favorite?
I think they're going Rory because he grew up, he has some course knowledge, although I think that's kind of overrated.
But he's having a monster season from a stats standpoint. They're saying it's his best year since like 2013, 2014.
He would not be a bad pick, but if they're throwing him at 7-8-1, it's like I'd rather have the guys at 35, 40, 50, 60 to 1.
Sure.
Now, a lot of times when you look at these majors, it ends up being that when you get out of the 40 to 1 range and north of that, typically if you look back, those guys don't win it. I mean, that you're betting, that's a long shot. I mean, you've got to be typically, there's an algorithm for guys who win majors, and they're typically always, and there's always outliers, but they're typically always into a range, and it's usually top 20, 25 in the world, you know, that, you know, in all the stats and everything. Sure. But Kuchar falls into that.
Even when you get someone that comes out of nowhere, he's still in the top 25. It's just he's not one of the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, you're better off finding, I think, when you pick, and when you only have to pick one player, I think you're better off finding a guy who could win in the 20 to 40 to 1 range,
yeah,
as opposed to betting a guy who is just, I mean, how many times is the odds on favorite win? Like, that's like the Tiger effect.
Sure.
You know, it used to be Tiger was the odds on favorite. You better bet him because the chances are he's going to win the damn tournament. Yeah. It doesn't work that way anymore. Any of these guys in the top 20 to 25 can win. It's all about how they putt. Matt Kuchar's putting well.
Yeah, people were saying, you know, some people are like, well, do you bet on the European guys? But I look through past winners, and it's pretty...
It goes back and forth.
It goes back and forth.
A lot of Americans win over there.
Sure. Like, it's just, I'm looking, you had Molinari won last year. Before that was Spieth, and then Stenson. But Zach Johnson, Phil won it back in 2013. It just kind of feels like, it, at least from looking here, actually, the United States kind of back in the day seemed to have a bit of a stranglehold on this in the 70s and 80s. But, yeah, it jumps around quite a bit.
And there's probably a chance. It's very hard to find these guys in the odds, on the odds sheet, because nobody knows who they are. But there's probably a chance that you can find some European Tour dude who's played some out on the PGA Tour, who's playing well right now, but nobody really knows it, who will finish in the top five.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just some... There will always, the British Open always presents that, like some rando, total rando that's like 300 to 1.
Yeah, it doesn't win, but finishes top 5, top 10.
All right, there is our exclusive British Open breakdown. My pick this year, I feel good about it. I've got Matt Kuchar in my pocket, 35 to 1.
The Cooch.
And if I lose, don't blame me. All right. Oh, actually, you can blame me because I'm the one that.
Yeah, you are making your 52 yeah. gold star lock of the week.
Coming up next, it is time for In the News. We have more cougar sightings.
Yeah. On camera, too. Yeah. I've seen the photos. Be terrified.
Well, there's also video nowadays. Did you know that?
I haven't seen the video. I just saw the still shot.
Oh, no, there's vid, bro. So we'll get to that coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Is anyone else hearing Mike's sports snorts and wanting him to report Ezekiel Elliott as Ezekiel Ol Eliel?
Yes.
Ezekiel Elliott.
So much, yes.
Every time I hear him say Ezekiel Elliott, I'm like, that's not right.
I know. Like saying the Deschutes. No.
It's Deschutes.
Deschutes. And the mighty Willametta.
Come on, who doesn't know that?
Get with it, people.
All right, it is July 16th, 2019. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is National Fresh Spinach Day.
Oh.
How do you feel about spinach?
I like spinach.
Do you?
In all forms. In fact, if I have to go with a favorite leafy vegetable, I'm probably going to say spinach. Nice spinach salad, get a little saute spinach. It's all good.
There's also, you know, I was thinking about spinach. When we grew up, sorry, squirrel there.
What? Squirrel, huh?
Well, I was listening to, I was thinking, like, you know.
Like Popeye, the sailor
man
spinach?
I was thinking about Popeye because I was thinking about being a kid and you were always told that spinach is horrible.
Yes.
And I think that the reason you were told, and I don't mind spinach, it's not my favorite, but I eat it like your greens, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we were always told spinach was horrible because we always thought it was great. Because as a kid, you're like, oh my God, Popeye and spinach. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, spinach. And then like word would get around the schools like, have you tried spinach?
Yeah, you don't want spinach.
You don't want effing spinach, too.
Well, and his spinach was always weird. It was always a can and it was always like greasy. And, you know,
yeah, but look at those forearms,
yeah,
baby.
It looked terrible.
So what do you think Popeye did for spinach? Is that good for big spinach or bad for big spinach?
I think it was bad for big spinach.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think that was good at all. Plus, like, I don't know. With spinach, I get it. It's more of an acquired taste. The problem with kids, and I have this battle with my children who are, at least the two younger ones, are insanely picky eaters. I have to explain to my kids that you can't eat your favorite food every day, right? If I could eat like fried rice every day, I would. But you can't because you'd weigh 500 pounds and you would die of a heart attack. Like, it's not good. And so you need to find foods that that taste good, but I get it. Spinach is not going to be as good as pizza, but you can't eat pizza every day. So that's what I'm trying to instill in the children is find stuff that's good that you like, but you just need to tell yourself, I get it, it's not as good as chicken fingers, and that's okay. Eat it occasionally. It's good for you.
Cougar sighting in Dunthorpe.
Yep.
Watch out, rich people.
True story.
Actually, it's not the rich people. You want to watch... The poor people need to watch out because that's who the Cougars go for. They go slumming, right?
Well, Dunthorpe ain't no slum, bro.
No. But, you know, what happens. The Cougars go out and they prey upon the young and the naive.
Well, it's definitely not a first to see a couple Cougars rolling around Dunthorpe, I'll tell you that.
Nope.
Caught on surveillance video outside someone's really, really nice home. So, Dunthorpe, if you don't know where that is, it's that neighborhood up by Tryon Creek State Park, Terwilliger, over there. And they caught this. So it's just at night, you know, late at night, and nothing's really going on. And it's a shot of their big, massive, awesome driveway. And then Cougar just waltzes into the shot and then walks away.
It's pretty kick-ass.
Like she was loaded.
I'm watching the video here. Yeah, she clearly had been on one. Coming from a concert or something.
You know, there's really nothing else to report other than, I tell you what, that's like right in the middle of, you know. Like, that's right in the middle of the city.
But you look about it, or you look at the... I saw the still photo, now I'm watching the video. Like, it is a pretty, like, forested area around there.
It's Tryon Creek State Park. You ever been up there?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on over there. It's just that, I don't know, it's... Outskirts is one thing. Like, in town... Like, that cougar... Put it this way. That cougar has got to cross a lot of lanes...
To get there?
To get out of there. Like, if he's at Tryon Creek State Park, I mean...
What sucks is, look, we know how this story is going to end, right?
Oh, of course.
They're going to go find the cougar, and they're going to shoot it and kill it, which sucks. Because the cougar's not doing anything. He's just doing cougar stuff. That sucks.
Well, I guess it lives in there or something. I don't know.
Maybe it's someone's pet.
Of course, this prompts KGW.com to give us cougar tips. And, of course, I will read those to you because... What would I be as a newsman without telling you how to, especially you rich people up at Dunthorpe? Hey, come on. You need to know this stuff.
Gotta be prepared.
Cougars often will retreat if given the opportunity, so leave the animal a way to escape. That's one.
Don't corner the giant cat. There's a shocker.
Stay calm and stand your ground. Maintain direct eye contact.
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to look away?
No. Nope.
I know you're not supposed to run.
Definitely don't run.
Yeah, that triggers the old fight.
Although I think if you're under 30 years of age and a male, you should run.
Unless you want to have a great night.
You guys get that?
I got it.
My coug jokes. Or you can offer it free passes to the nightclubs.
You break out a bottle of rosé.
There you go. Pick up your children, but do so without bending down or turning your back on the cougar. Back away slowly.
Okay. Think about that. That is, I don't know what time of night that was, but it looks like they got a little hockey goal out there in the driveway. Little Johnny's out there working on his driveway slap shot, and that thing comes out.
Don't pick him up.
No.
If the cougar seems aggressive, raise your arms to make yourself look larger and clap your hands. And if in the very unusual event that the cougar attacks you, fight back with rocks, sticks, bear or pepper spray tools. Or basically flail for your life.
Yeah.
Is what they're saying.
I mean, at that point, anything goes. And I every time we read this list, they forget the number one thing, and that's carry a stick and then rough talk it. I mean, just go all Tim Peeler on it. You tell it to get. Get yourself a big old stick and you just shoo it away. Come on. Tim Peeler did that with Bigfoot.
We also have somebody saying cougars.
Yeah, beautiful hair.
Cougars love pumpkin spice lattes, so if you're carrying one of those, hold tight.
You're in a world of problems. If that happens.
Is the zoo missing a cougar? Good question. Don't think so. At least, not that they know of yet.
I don't know. Would you necessarily be freaked out if you saw a cougar in your neighborhood?
Well, I have a... I used to live over there.
It's good to be Isaac Robb.
And that's where I bought my first house. Not in Dunthorpe, my God. But by Tryon Creek State Park.
Very good to be Rob.
And I would say that, yes, with, like, small dogs or if I had cats. Yeah. Like, if I didn't know that there were cougars hanging out in there. Maybe somebody will say, oh, my God, that's common. They're always at Tryon Creek State Park. Maybe that's true because we lived right by Tryon Creek State Park. But there was never – I never remember a story about it when we lived there. And so yeah, I would be like, oh man, you know, I don't want to let little doo-doo bird out there at night, you know. You never know.
I lived in the center, I lived on property. We had one jump out of our tree, and I don't know if it was a cougar or if it was a bobcat. It's a large cat. But, you know, it was dark, and you could only really see the eyes, and it kind of bounded across the property. And, I, you know, it was up in a tree, and I will say that was one of those, like, oh, crap, because I had no idea it was there. Like, I was just outside. I think I was, like, dragging around, the trash can or something, and it just, like, jumped out of the tree, and it was like, ah! And then it was gone in an instant. And, I don't know, it weirded me out, but I just don't think about that. Like, it never really, like, panicked me necessarily. But I feel like maybe in the rich neighborhoods, like, if you're out in the country, maybe that's just kind of expected. But I feel like the rich people, they're going to demand action here. That cat's going to get shot.
Yeah. It's like the guy with the blue tarp in West Lynn on his van.
Yeah.
Or the, you know, the little girl was like, oh, my God, I'm so scared.
Yeah.
And everybody jumps to action. Well, he was delivering a package.
Yeah. But it's West Lynn.
He's an Amazon guy.
Yeah. Those vans aren't allowed in West Lynn.
You Richies, I tell you what. All right, coming up next. Hey, you'll be happy. I have a follow up. So you once received a day drinking award?
I did. From Beaches.
Oh, it was Beaches, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went through their entire menu.
I was thinking it was Husong and Larry's.
No, it was Beaches, which is right there. Same
area.
Same area.
I have news on that area.
Oh yeah, because they're tearing stuff down, right?
Yeah, they're going big over there.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
There I go. I don't claim to be no 36 ACT, man.
This is a British Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:49. We get the Hot 5 at 5 coming up at, after 5. A text to the Better You Today text line 55305. Everybody in Newburgh is shaking their heads at all these rich people and their fear of cougars.
Well, that's kind of my thing. When you live out in the country, it's just like you see them, but I don't know. I never knew anyone that freaked out when there was like a cougar or like a black bear sighting or whatever, but it comes in the neighborhoods and they're, ah.
One more time.
Ah.
That's good.
A little hysterical Dunthorpe panic.
So I've got some news for you.
What do you got?
Now, I don't know about Beaches, but Joe's Crab Shack and Husong and Larry's.
Yeah, they're on the Washington side of the Columbia River, and I thought those were going away to make room for all the. They're building like a big boardwalk thing down there, right?
Well, they're on the east side of I-5. They're doing a big thing on the west side of I-5 if you're going north.
Yeah.
Although, you could be. Never mind. On the east side, it's a different development. And it's Kirkland Development that's doing it.
Okay.
And they're popping up a bunch of buildings, and who knows what they'll be. But you can, you can probably guess. But, so they finally revealed details of their plan. They say that they've been working with the restaurant owners to move them to portions of the new buildings. Because a lot of people were pissed off up there because, you know, those restaurants right on the water there are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
You went there when you wanted to day drink.
I did. I went to Beaches down there and won an award. I mean,
give out awards.
There's some sentimental value. I think just the bartender felt bad for me, and so he printed one out and gave it to me. And he gave me some kettle corn to go along with it.
So,
but I went to like Husong and Larry's. Like, that was like the first dance I ever went to. We went and ate at Husong and Larry's. Like, that's been around forever.
Now, do you think if they put in better restaurants down there, they would be a hit? Or they need their Joe's Crab Shack in Husong and Larry's.
I think they would be a hit. But remember, it is Vancouver, so you gotta, I don't know if high end is the way to go.
Tell you what, that's a great spot right there, though.
It is.
Right off the water.
It's great down there.
Right on the water.
I love that they're trying to build that up because, there hasn't just been a whole lot down there over the years.
So it sounds like that's going to be saved. Now, in other restaurant news, you ever been up to Portland City Grill?
I have been to Portland City Grill.
Steakhouse up there.
Slightly nicer than both Husong and Larry's and Joe's Crab Shack, believe it or not.
Yeah, if I had to rank the three.
Just slightly.
Just a notch above.
Well, the company that owns Portland City Grill and Henry's Tavern. I know you like Henry's.
I do like Henry's.
Files for Chapter 11.
Oh. If you would have told me that one of those restaurants is potentially going away, I wouldn't have guessed the Portland City Grill.
Well, it doesn't mean it's going away, yeah. But they filed Chapter 11. They're a group called Restaurants Unlimited, and they've got other stuff too. They have stuff all around, all over the West Coast. But they're blaming the rise in the minimum wage because they're out of Seattle, and you know it's but it's going up everywhere. I went up here recently, I think, in Portland,
and that's putting people out of business. That's forcing it.
Well, it is definitely. I mean, if you talk to anybody who, well, especially restaurants with margins, you know, like that's a tough biz anyway.
Sure.
And then your labor costs start going up by, in some instances, they're saying labor costs are going up by 35 to even 70%. That's a pretty big nut. And so they're saying, hey, man. And they also say that they've had two unsuccessful expansions, and there's a general national trend away from casual dining, which I did not know. I thought that the kids were all going out more and more.
But I don't think the kids have the money to go out anymore.
Well, Portland City Grill's a little different, but I mean, a lot of these restaurant groups, they have, because that's a higher-end place, but a lot of these restaurant groups, you know, they do cater to people who, you know, they don't want to spend the money at Portland City Grill.
Sure.
You know? So you have all these different, you know, like different styles and types and price ranges of restaurants in your portfolio. Because Henry's is, you know, that's not the price level of Portland City Grill.
No, but still, if you go out, like if you're a 20-something and you go out there and you order an appetizer, you order a meal and a couple drinks, you're still going to be into that for $75-$80.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of 20-somethings that...
Yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is that I'm sure that Restaurants Unlimited, or whatever they're called, has cheaper alternatives. To you know,
yeah.
It's like it's their well-rounded portfolio. But maybe not. Maybe they're only in the higher end type restaurant biz. And if so, maybe yeah, you are pricing people out, and then labor costs go up, and boom, that's how you file for bankruptcy.
Well, in Seattle, is it like $16-$15 bucks an hour or something like that? Right?
I think it's 16 per hour now in the city.
When we were out in Cape Cod, and believe me, they put the signs everywhere to remind you. The tipped employees, and I'm assuming this is statewide, not just in Cape Cod in Massachusetts, but it's $4.35 an hour that they make.
Really?
$4.35 an hour.
Huh.
And so anytime you go anywhere, they've got big signs.
If you're a tipped employee. In other words, take care of them. They say, hey, take care of these people.
Yes.
They only make $4. That's how it was when I was in the business.
$4.35 an hour.
You'd get your paycheck, it'd be like $2.50 an hour.
Yeah. From that standpoint, it's a significant difference if you're paying someone $15-$16 bucks an hour.
Portland's, I think, $12.50 now.
I do not know. Not familiar with the minimum wage.
That's San Francisco and Seattle. I think it's $12.50, and then San Francisco and Seattle. But we're headed towards, you know, it's going to be, they're going to keep increasing it. You know, it's incremental.
Livable wage, right?
Seattle and San Francisco are at $16. So, they say that the wage increases have increased their expenses by $11 million through this fiscal year.
And people are reporting plenty of cougar sightings at the Portland City Grill as well. But no one seems to be panicked about it.
More cougars. I tell you what, I heard one time that bar up there at Portland City Grill.
Yeah, when you go upstairs, it's a great view.
That bar is one of the highest grossing bars in the United States.
Really?
I heard that once. That was many years ago.
Sure.
Their happy hour prices are actually quite affordable compared to the restaurant.
I don't know if it's still like this, but everybody used to go up there, like the CNB scene crowd. Would go up there for happy hour. Like, it was popping from, you know, 5 to 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Just the bar part.
Well, even if you go there at night, because we've been there a time or two, you know, they do the happy hour from whatever it is, like 9:30 or 10 o'clock to close. You can go there and good luck getting a table at 10 o'clock up at the bar. I mean, I think that place is still pretty popular.
All right. That is in the news for July 16th, 2019. Coming up next, the Hot 5 at 5. There is a chance this big-time NFL player returns, and we have the latest on Chris Paul maybe being dealt again. That's next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.